Hello, everybody, and welcome to ROMs Over Baghdad. I'm your host today, Thowden. It's almost the 4th of July here on the ROMs cast. Joining me is Mary.
Hey, I heard fireworks, like, in the tennis court near my apartment, so yeah, it's 4th of July tomorrow.
Shit was going off last night.
No, this is like, yeah, oh, last night already? Yeah. Damn.
It's everywhere. It's loud and close, and we didn't know what it was. Scary. Scary. Spooked the
cat. You didn't know what it was? I mean,
live in the middle of the woods. Like, loud noises happen. We can't see it from nearby. We just know the loud noise. And the cat gets, and that's all. That's how you know. That's how you know something's going on when the cat gets spooked. And Jake's joining us also.
Didn't need
to go off on the tirade, but.
It's all right.
Fireworks, yeah, man. I gotta get some fireworks also.
Yeah, shit's been popping off here too.
All day.
I love a good firework. I might go to a fireworks display. Who knows? We'll see.
Let's start over.
No, fireworks. Great.
It was like Thursday night. People were shooting fucking mortars. The kind that shoot up in the air and blow up all big.
Okay, so not like...
Yeah, those are mortars.
Not like...
Yeah, those are like super illegal in Oregon.
Really?
Yeah. But it's like in the middle of a residential area, too. I was trying to sleep. And people are just fucking shooting them off. It's like, it's not even the fucking 4th of July yet. What are you doing?
So people can't hold themselves in, and they just gotta do it.
Apparently.
They're practicing.
They're practicing.
You don't want to mess up on the big day.
Yeah, you don't want to. You gotta figure out the platform that you're gonna have that tube on, because that's important.
You gotta understand how to put the tube up.
You want to have something solid underneath it, and not like dirt, because the bottom is like they're pretty thin.
Yeah,
I figured that out the hard. It was a long time ago. It was like New Year's, I think. I was at a friend's house, and we were shooting some of those off. And we had it sitting in the dirt, and it blew out the bottom of the tube and like made a indent in the dirt, and the thing only went up about 10 feet. So it made it out of the tube, but it didn't go very high, and we all had to run away.
You gotta know that your sucks. Exit points. You gotta know where you're running to.
If
shit goes wrong, you gotta know where you're gonna run. That's what I've always found with fireworks.
I don't know. The one time we used like an old piece of gutter as like a rocker, like a shoulder for mortars, it worked really well, and everybody still has their shoulders, so it was fine. It looked cool. Texas,
yeehaw! Did somebody yell yeehaw? You gotta yell yeehaw.
I don't think anybody said yeehaw. I think it was more swears, but same difference.
Fuck yeehaw! Shit, yeehaw! You just gotta work it in there any way you can. Swear first, then yeehaw, or yeehaw, then a swear. Who knows?
The whole
possibilities are endless.
Yippee-ki-yay, shut the fuck up, Bowden.
So what video games do you guys play? Instead of lighting off fireworks, what video games have you been playing? You've been lighting off fireworks in video games? I'm sure there's a video game out there about fireworks. Fireworks
there
Simulator
are several.
2016.
Yeah. Fantavision. God, don't you know anything, Bowden?
No.
PlanetSide 2 has a fireworks launcher.
Does it?
Yeah.
PlanetSide 1 basically was fireworks yesterday. Day before yesterday. Shut it down.
Oh my, I never even would have thought of
news.
That. That is pretty cool. That's, yeah. That is kind
I'm
of
I'm not sure if you still get them or not, but I believe it was a 4th of July event and it just put them in your inventory, or it was like available as an unlock or something. But it would just shoot a thing up in the air and it would explode like your faction's color. So if you're on Vanu, it's purple. You're on TR, it's red. And people were having fights with them because they did a little bit of damage.
Huh.
It was pretty awesome.
That does sound pretty cool. Maybe I'll have to download Planet Zoo now.
And I still have my... I believe I still have my firework launcher in my inventory.
Really?
Because every now and then, if you're in a fight, like a big fight, there'll be some cheeky bastard who will just shoot one of those up in the air for no reason.
Yeah, okay. I'm looking it up right now and see if they actually have them in this year. Because I don't think I have those in my inventory. But that'd be cool, man. That'd be pretty cool. Well, that's a cool thing, though. I mean, in terms of doing, like, a event for a real holiday, that seems all right. That seems like a fun thing to do.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah.
More fun than Summer Seam Sale. Like, I didn't put that much into my inventory because of this crap. Like, I got Drawful 2, Azure Striker Gunvolt, which still looks like a 3DS game, but whatever. and I might get Grim Dawn or Elder Scrolls Online. I don't know. Can't decide. There's not a ton of super sales. I don't know if it's because I own everything or what.
It's because they got rid of dailies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I miss the gimmicky stuff. Like, it's kind of boring now.
Even if it was like a game or something, rather than just going through a discovery queue to get your cards, that'd at least be a little bit more, like, engaging, you know? Like, it would at least be something. And not just, you know, going through a discovery queue to get your cards and then that's it. I don't know, it just feels like there's no reason to check it again. It's just like, oh, here's the deals. Yeah, great.
The end, yeah. Whoopee. Big deal.
Yeah, I haven't bought anything.
I bought Punch Club, which I'll talk about when we get to games, and I bought the Don't Starves. I bought that video game. That's all I bought. There's not like deep discounts. Like, I want some deep discounts. I'm looking at you, Armello. Why don't you get below $10? I want to buy you, but $14. It's just a little too much. Just $15 is a little too much money for my blood. I just want it to be $7. Is that so much to ask?
Apparently, yeah.
I don't know, like, you know, you're looking around and you see 75% off and stuff, but it just still feels, I don't know.
It's kind of anemic. I don't know. Maybe it's just because I don't care about the games that are on big sale, like Shadow of Mordor or whatever, but I don't know.
Yeah, I guess it's like major titles that get the really big sales. When I want, like, my indie games, I want my, like, how about you give me, like, one of those deep discounts on whatever the heck is called Invisible Ink or something like that, like super deep. Go like 80s, 90s% offs. I want to be buying dollar games because I'm cheap. That's what I've been told. I'm cheap. I don't know.
Buying games that are less than $1 is a dark path to go down.
Yeah.
Unless they're really old games that I feel like, oh well, you know, Pac-Man, I'd pay $1 for. Old Pac-Man, you know.
I don't even really bother with those, though. Like, I wait until they're in a bundle with, like, 3 or 4 others for, more money. So, I don't know. Yeah, I never look at, like, sort by lowest price because I know it's going to be full of garbage in Steam.
Humble Bundle has really made it so, like, I just want to buy, like, how about I give you $10 and you give me, like, 20 games, man? And it's, I don't know. I guess it just makes
sense. We're all the worst now.
Yeah, we're the worst people. We're the worst.
Steam has spoiled us.
Yep, and I'm spoiled. I'm spoiled. Give me better sales. Come on.
Seriously.
I want nut sales. I want, like, hey, here's like 20 games for like 2 cents. That's all I want. I want to be like, oh my god, I gotta get on this. I mean, I guess the Doom is pretty cheap, so that's the one thing I've heard people say, so I don't know. It's all right. So you guys want to talk about games, though, that you have played and not the ones you're thinking about buying? Well, you want to talk about some video game?
Sure.
I'll go first. Punch Club is a video game about, well, you punch people in your face. You're training a boxer, man. And you wake up and you gotta go out and train in a gym and you got your fight scheduled. It's pretty good. It's a pretty good game. I enjoy it. I really like it a lot. You gotta go around to places and like, hey, there's a dude here who wants to do some illegal fights. You're like, oh, man, I'll do that. Then you get your ass kicked, like me.
Nice.
I don't know, it's just like it's such a good idea for like a, I don't know, I'm always for games that let you build a character, and I guess Punch Club just does that, I don't know, in a way that really makes it interesting, because I don't know, there's not that many boxing games nowadays, and I like it at fighting. I'm a boxing fan.
Like, do you actually box in the game? Like, what does it play like? Just
so, like, you would start off, let's say, a day, you'd go to the gym, you'd level up, you got 3 skills, you've got your strength skill, you got your agility skill, and you got your stamina skill. You gotta level them up. Strength obviously makes you punch harder, agility makes you punch quicker, and kind of does kicks and different kind of stuff related to that. And then stamina is just how many of those you can throw before you run out of energy. And so when you get into a fight
it's Monster Rancher.
Hey, that's actually not a bad. Yeah, it's kind of like Monster Rancher, I guess. Yeah, I could see your comparison. But you get into a fight and you just like kind of put your skills up. So you have like a straight punch, a kick, a block or something like that, or a dodge. You kind of put them all into a skill set, and then you just click go and they fight. And it's kind of, you know, they put your skills together and they fight and they punch and they kick.
But the fight is all automated depending on how
you... It's not like you're throwing punches, yeah.
Okay.
It's how you build up your character, and it's kind of automated, but every round you can kind of switch out different skills, to, you know, once you see what they're doing, and it's kind of a game of chess in that way. You want to know, oh, this dude's got a kick, I should probably dodge that. or this dude's got a really good punch, so I should probably get out of the way of that or something like that. It makes
so this, there's like a rock versus scissors thing on like whether punches, kicks, or whatever are the best.
Yeah, kind of a rock, paper, scissors. I wouldn't say that much, but more that you would know, like, oh man, they got a really good punch. I probably don't want to take that square in the jaw, so let me switch out one of my punches for, like, I don't know, a block or something like that. Just, you know, I wouldn't say, like, it's rock, paper, scissors, like, kicks beat punches or something like that.
It's more basic strategy. Okay. Yeah. So there's not, like, weird exploiting weaknesses or buffs or any of that crazy shit.
Not that I've found yet. Now, I've only played, like, maybe an hour or two, but so far it hasn't been like that. I actually like the system because in between rounds, you can switch out things, and it makes it really feel like your corner guy's talking to you in some way, saying, oh, man, you gotta get under that punch or something like that. Like, it makes it interesting in a way that I think adds a level of strategy that makes it more of an enjoyable game, perhaps?
No, yeah, that seems to make sense narratively, and it's cool that, like, the game will dole out some hints in that kind of way. That does make sense.
And then there's all kinds of, a la Stardew Valley, like, weird things happening, quests and stuff like that. Like, there's a guy who got his convenience store robbed, and I beat up the guy in the thing, and he's like, oh man, yeah, they've been coming around here messing with my stuff all the time. So now I'm on the hunt of a bunch of criminals. It's, you know, it's interesting. It's fun. It's like a Stardew Valley mixed with a Monster Rancher, I guess, with some boxing on top. So it's a pretty good game.
And how is, like, the writing in the game? The game seems kind of simple itself. I know, I think I've seen some videos on it before. I think they played it on UPF one time on Giant Bomb. Mm-hmm. And wasn't it, like, full of references to stuff? Like, is that annoying? Yeah. Or how is the humor going for you?
I would say it's definitely humorous at times, but, you know, the references to stuff, like, it's Mick or whatever, who's your coach guy who gets you into the thing, and there's, you know, different kind of thing like that. It doesn't feel like it's tacked on. It feels kind of just integral to the thing, and if you don't know the reference, you don't really need to know it. It's just kind of there as a thing. It feels very natural. And the comedy's pretty good at times, because there's a guy, you go outside of a nightclub, and there's a dude from that Fight Club standing outside, and I was like, oh, hey, it's that guy. And the game says, hey, you should probably hang out with this guy. This guy looks all right. And it's like, oh, ha, ha. Very funny.
Yeah, very funny. I don't know.
I don't know.
It seems like you could either take that, like, as, like, oh, that's stupid, you silly game, or, like, be irritated by it, depending on what mood you're in or something.
It's so quick, right? Like, it's just, like, a few lines of dialogue or something like
that. Yeah, but still, like, some of these things seem more like stuff I would roll my eyes at and be like, whatever. Like, just, ugh.
I don't know. It seemed very quick and natural, and not something that I was blown away. Like, I was like, oh man, just
it's
how
not
lame
bugging
is this?
The shit out of you.
Yeah,
that's
it
good.
Was like, it was quick. So yeah, I played that. I bought it on a Steam sale. You should probably go buy it if you're interested in it, because it's only like $3
was
now.
It? Oh, okay. $3. Yeah. Well, it's not going to be that price by the time our episode comes out.
Yeah, but, you know, if you get a chance and you're looking to buy it, it's definitely worth it. They have Ninja Turtles in it. There's a Ninja Turtles guy. I've seen it in the trailers.
Wait a second. Well, is Casey Jones in it?
Maybe.
Because he's the important one.
Oh, wow. You're making a really strong statement on Ninja Turtles lore. Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen him yet. But there is, from the trailer, I saw a Ninja Turtle looking guy, an alligator looking humanoid man in the game. Also, I just met this girl, and she's a cool man. And
Mondo
dating.
Gator? Is that who you're talking about?
Yes, Mondo Gator.
Or is it... Oh, I forget all these fucking Ninja Turtle characters. Never mind. Fuck this.
But there's also, like, a dating sim element. You would like it married. It's like, you could go date a girl. Adrian? Get it? It's funny. It's Rocky's girl, right? It's funny.
I don't think I would like this.
Really?
It doesn't. Also, the alligator was Leatherhead. Fucking Ninja Turtles. It was Mondo Gecko I was thinking of. But yeah, like, I don't... How is the dating? Like, do you get to do choices, like, during, like, conversational choices?
No, it's not No, it's just like, oh, hey. It's just kind of cutscene stuff. Because, like, you go, hey, hi, I'm this dude. Hey, hi.
Well, even Stardew Valley has conversational choices. So, there. It's, whatever.
I mean...
$3.
Sure. But there's a lot here. I think it's worth more than $3. But there's a deep skill tree. You could skill out your guy real good, and you can hang out with your buddy Roy and drink beers all day, which is my plan. It's my plan. What I'm gonna do.
Does that increase any stats, like just sitting around drinking beer?
It gives you food, it gives you happiness, and rests you up a little bit. Because you burn energy every time you do something. Like if you go to the gym, you burn through energy and food.
This does sound pretty similar to Monster Rancher.
Yeah, and that's not a bad thing, hey man. I really like Monster
Rancher. That sounds cool.
So yeah, give it a try. Also, there's a cat in my house. You could pet the cat, it's great. Just walk over and go, hey cat, you pet it, it's good. Somebody left a mysterious briefcase filled with weird wires and stuff in my house. I don't know what the hell it is. I don't know what's going on with it. I gotta figure it out. Gotta figure out that quest. So yeah, there you go. That's Punch Club. Check it out if you're in the mood for some video games. I also played State of Decay, the zombie game. That game is clunky, but also I can see what they were going for. Boy, there are some good glitches, like the time I just was driving along the road and suddenly my car flipped up in the air and it exploded. That was a good time. Good time. Except for the part where my character died. When your character dies, they don't come back. It's kind of roguelike-y in that way.
Yeah, but I kind of like all of the crazy, weird sim mechanics that are in that game. It's a lot of fun. Like, you have to worry about the people that you rescue in your base and what, like, their personality is and if they're going to get along with this other person that you bring to, like, go get supplies, blah, blah, blah. It is pretty cool. Like, I played it when it first came out, I guess in 2013, looking at this.
Right.
But yeah, I want to play a sequel. The sequel has co-op and everything, too. Thousand.
Yeah,
we can play it together. It'll be fun.
Yeah, I like it. You know, it's clunky, but at the same time, I think that clunkiness works in its advantage in a weird way, in that often with this kind of game, if you're you know, somewhat competent, you can kind of get around having any major problems. But the clunkiness makes it so you
unique.
Can run into a bad situation and it just doesn't work out for you, even if you come at it from a high skill level perspective or something like that. It's just like, oh, it's so clunky, all these zombies got on me, I can't get out and I die. It makes it feel like there's an actual challenge that the clunkiness makes in a way.
Yeah, almost like playing old Silent Hill or like Resident Evil games.
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah, you can't fight the zombies that great, so of course they're scarier, that kind of shit.
Yeah, I think that's something that zombie games were missing in some ways, was they're not particularly threatening enemies because you could just like kind of plow through them all, a la like something like Dead Rising. A single zombie isn't really a problem. Even a group really isn't very much of a problem. They just kind of become, I don't know, mulch? Is that a good word? It could become, I don't know, body
goo.
Yeah, they just kind of become things you have to push your way through. But this made it into an interesting thing where even walking up on three or four zombies, I gotta figure out how to deal with that situation. And that's something that I don't think a lot of zombie games get right. It made it feel very like, oh man, I'm gonna lose this guy. It made it feel cool. It's cool. I like State of Decay so far. It's pretty good.
And all of the NPCs are so unique and everything too, that you do feel like you fuck up if you make them die, almost like Fire Emblem or something. So it was a cool, unique zombie game. Like, there haven't been any like action sims like that before of that I can think of, and it's a great idea for a game. I hope the sequel, even though it's co-op, still has a lot of those sim elements in there.
Yeah, same. I really think they're onto something with that could be pretty cool if they make a sequel that cleans up some of the stuff, because sometimes the clunkiness does get a little heavy, like just exploding cars out of nowhere and stuff. That gets a little like, oh well, that's funky. But it's just so much potential with that idea. I'm really excited to see what they do with it going forward.
Yeah, like you can build bases and just all of the crazy stuff. Like it's a neat game. Having like a more polished, like perfected version, I could see it being like one of the best games of the year for me.
Yeah, I agree. It's pretty cool. I quite enjoy it. I've been using, you got your main three people that you get up in the first area. Spoilers, but it's, you know, it's like first few minutes of the game, you get three people. And I've been using them, I keep them in the base, and I use the other people I rescue, because I'm like, oh man, I don't want to lose my main guys, I want them for the story stuff. So that's what my plan has been. Also wiping out all the zombies I can. Zombie hordes, just driving through them, it's great. Gotta keep it under control.
Until it explodes.
Yeah, until it explodes. I mean, you know, you get three or four zombie hordes out of one car, that's worth it. I really wonder if you could you like defeat all the zombies, like push them out in some way? Like, that'd be pretty cool if you could win. If it took a lot of work, but you could just like push the zombies out, I think that would be pretty cool in itself. Yeah, so that's what I've been playing. What have you been playing, Mary?
Crap, really. A bunch of crap. So many video games. It's a lot of it is like short, like I have 10 minutes, so I'm gonna play some Grand Blue Fantasy and grind on this event, or I'm gonna play Idolmaster, blah blah blah. Everybody knows. But the main game I've really been playing is Tokyo Mirage Sessions on the Wii U.
Okay, all right. I just read the thing, Google Doc. Okay, yeah, let's talk about this game. So what's this like? I watched some of it and I was like, man, this looks pretty cool.
It is really cool. I actually like it a whole lot. It's great. It's a typical JRPG, but it's full of idol and all sorts of talent business. Like, it's all about Japanese entertainment industry and how stupid it is. And also exploring convoluted dungeons that you have to backtrack all over multiple times for so many side quests. So now I know where everything goes, at least. But holy crap, it's a lot of dungeons.
I've heard it described as kind of like a Persona 4.5, almost, like a thing where you're like, oh man, this shows potential for like future Persona games.
Oh, would for you, sure.
Would you say that?
Yeah, okay, cool. I would definitely say it's like kind of a Persona practice game. Like, they, I think the Digital Devil Saga games actually came out before Shin Megami Tensei Nocturne, which was like the third Shin Megami Tensei game. And it kind of serves the same purpose. It's just a straightforward spin-off RPG, and I'm having a ton of fun with it. Like, it looks good, and you can see, like, some of the crowd technology they have for, like, the NPCs, where they're just, like, random people just walking around. It's displayed a little bit differently. It's done the exact same way in Persona 5, so it does seem kind of like they're just kind of experimenting tech-wise with this game.
Maybe it's like a B team or something like that. They're trying to get some experience under their belts. Yeah, it looks great. It looks interesting.
And it plays just great, too. It plays like a standard Shin Megami Tensei game in that, like, it's super focused in the battles on exploiting weaknesses. And if the enemy does that to you, like, say, your main character uses swords, and because of the whole Fire Emblem system, he's weak to lances. So say there's an enemy that's, like, flying a stupid, weird Pegasus guy that's all purple, and he spears you with his lance, and like, oh, well, that's a critical hit, so now everybody else on the bad guy team gets to attack the shit out of your dude, and now he's dead. And now that happened to every other single member of your team, and now everyone's dead, and now you have game over, and I hope you saved, because you can save anywhere now, but if you didn't, you're fucked, and you lost two hours of going in the dungeon.
Hey, and that's yeah.
Oh, and I was going to say, like, that's actually more of a possibility now, too, because they have these kind of random enemies that will spawn on the dungeon map called Savage Enemies. And
savage.
These, yeah, and they're fucking savage. Like, they will just murder the shit out of you. So you got to make sure you save. Don't be like me.
Hey, that seems, you know, I think there's something to be said about save management. It's a crucial skill you learn, how to save multiple times to make sure you don't lose progress.
Yeah, like, I'm about, like, 25 hours in. I would probably be closer to 30 hours in if I had remembered to save. Like, I'm about, like, halfway through the third chapter. And it's a lot of fun. Like, it touches on so many stupid things, and I love it. Oh, it's so stupid.
Now, this was the Fire Emblem game, right? This was the one where they were doing Shin Megami Tensei cross Fire Emblem, but it's no longer that, right? It's kind of moved away in some ways.
It's weird. It was developed by Atlus, so I guess it kind of makes sense that it is more focused on their side of things. But so far in the story, like, the Fire Emblem elements are more kind of surface level than, like, built into the DNA. It's more like Persona with a Fire Emblem skin than, like, equally, like, I don't know. It's hard to describe. Like, the few Fire Emblem elements come into play, like, when you level up, the stat level up is kind of random in Fire Emblem and also has to do with your luck stat. In this game, you also have a luck stat, but eating different kinds of food and drinking different kinds of drinks that are available all throughout Tokyo. Like, you can visit all of these different kinds of restaurants and stuff, and they all have different menu items, and the menu items seem to be randomly rotated sometimes too, but they all seem to affect different characters in different ways. And each of the characters have their own likes and dislikes. And so, like, oh, I ate this peach tart, and so now, like, Ellie has super high luck. So if Ellie levels up while her luck is super high, she's going to have a lot higher stats. So there is, like, a lot of strategy and shit to this game, but it's not necessarily the normal kind of Fire Emblem strategy that you would think of. It's definitely more of a Shin Megami Tensei game.
Well, that's pretty cool. Huh. That sounds interesting. It sounds like, I don't know, something I would probably play. If I was ever going to actually be Persona 3 and 4, maybe then, at some point, I would get around to playing that.
But, like, tone-wise, I would definitely say it's more Persona 4 than, like, Persona 3 or regular mainline Shin Megami Tensei games. Like, even though there's a lot of, like, weird demons from other worlds and people getting kidnapped into other dimensions for 5 years and stuff, there's also stupid, goofy things about, like, learning sex appeal from stray cats and what? Shit like that. Yeah.
Excuse me? What?
Yeah, that's a major main side quest where Tsubasa has to learn, like, playful, devilish seductiveness from a stray cat. It's the dumbest thing. I don't want to spoil it, so I won't say, like, how exactly it happens, but let's just say they learned a lesson.
I need an adult. Okay, all right.
No, don't worry. Don't worry. Nintendo made sure that nothing involving boobies or people being uncomfortable involving boobies was left in the game, because holy moly, that seemed to be, like, all that they cared about, but whatever.
Well, all right then. Okay.
No, I mean, I just think it's kind of silly that that's what they seem so focused on. Yeah.
That's fine. Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, like, I don't think the small amount of boobies would raise it to an M rating, but what do I know? I'm not on the ESRB.
Okay, well, that sounds like a cool game. Jake, sir.
Yes.
Hello.
Hi.
What video games did you play, sir?
I've been playing Apply for Jobs.
Oh, that sounds like fun. I've been doing that as well.
And working on other stuff.
That doesn't sound fun at all. I don't believe it.
No.
That other game didn't sound very fun at all. No, the other stuff. No. All right.
I got a little bit of time. I had a little bit of time to play some stuff.
Ooh, okay.
And I've been messing around in Elder Scrolls Online a bit.
Uh-huh.
Just... That's still Elder Scrolls Online.
Is it fun still? You enjoying your time there?
Yeah, it's all right.
Is it on sale on a Steam sale?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, it is. That's why I was looking at it. I'm like, it's an online RPG. I can play whenever the hell I feel like you were talking about, Jake, and not have to pay an online fee. And
yeah,
I was tempted to get into it because you said it was pretty fun.
It does.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm glad it's doing well. There's like a kind of a weird market right now for MMOs, where there's a bunch of MMOs doing kind of okay. It's cool. I think it's pretty cool.
Not that it's still super busy. Like, it has people playing it.
Well, that's cool.
And I bet there are even more right now because Bill, sorry, button in. How many, like, Khajiit Kitty Cat people do you see roaming around?
It's like an even distribution between all of the races.
That's good. No weird Elder Scrolls racism.
Yeah.
Just the built-in racism.
Just the built-in.
Yeah, and then there's weird people who go into the global chat and they're like, we're a Khajiit guild. And I'm like, no, that's fucking weird.
That's really weird. I guess they're super, yeah.
We only accept Khajiit, that's all. No one else.
Actually, I would think, like, actually lore-wise, like, Khajiit wouldn't even be that way, would they? Because they're, like, nomadic, and from what I remember, they were kind of accepting because everybody else treats them as outcasts. But whatever!
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lore. Yeah.
Yeah, lore.
I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest. I don't know much of the Elder Scrolls lore, even though I've played like.
I don't either.
Well, sad. You see, it started off with the Dwemer.
Okay, the Dwemer,
and that's all I know.
What is
something Oblivion Daedra?
What is an Elder Scroll? What are they?
It's a scroll.
Pieces of paper.
Is it old? Is it elder?
Yes.
Ooh. Okay. All right. Okay. Elder Scrolls. Okay.
And it has some, I don't know, some magical shit.
That I always found it interesting.
You can play them online now too.
Yeah.
I've always found it interesting how like Elder Scrolls as like a universe never touches on the name of the thing very much. It's like Elder Scrolls. There's very little scrolls. There's very few scrolls. It's a lot of books, not a lot of scrolls.
The Dead Sea Scrolls, though, it's so religious, and yeah, I don't know.
Well, like, the Elder Scrolls are, think of them as, like, Dragon Balls.
Oh, okay, alright.
Yeah, like, there's only a few of them, and then there's not, yeah, people try to find them.
If you gather them together, does they summon a dragon?
No.
People act wishes? Like it. You do, like, it does seem like you do get power of some kind, like Assassin's Creed bullshit, Apple, and all that other garbage.
Yes, Apple, the company responsible for the Assassin's Creed games. Abstergo Industries, also known as Apple.
Yeah, that's what I meant, yeah.
Okay, alright, well, that sounds cool. I'm glad Elder Scrolls is doing well. I'm glad there's a kind of a little thriving market in the MMO scene, and it's not just World of Warcraft and everything else is gone. I think that's healthier market-wise, so I'm good to see that.
Yeah. And I played a little bit more Overwatch.
Oh, Overwatch. I've been playing that as well. Did you play any of that there ranked, sir?
No, fuck that.
I learned that I was bad at Overwatch by playing that. I'm not a good Overwatcher.
I'm just going to stick to quick play. I don't care about competitive.
Yeah, I'm glad like all of the good people have a place to go play other good people, and they can leave me alone in my shittiness with all the shitty people because I suck at Overwatch.
Hey, I think that's good for Overwatch, right? Get those people that really want a competitive scene and get them somewhere they can go away from everybody else, and it keeps everything nice and good. Keeps everything good.
No, I mean, I'm glad that like people who want to take it seriously have a place to take it seriously now. But yeah, I don't want to take Overwatch seriously.
That was kind of the problem with TF2, right? Was, man, there's no, like, good competitive scene, and then all those competitive people filter into the kind of the quick play stuff, and it's, I don't know.
Well, TF2 has matchmaking now.
What?
Competitive matchmaking, yeah, 6v6.
What? Okay, well, I haven't played TF2 in a while, it appears. Okay, well, I haven't kept up. Huh, okay, well, that's good. That's good. But yeah, you know, like it's a good thing, is what I'm saying. There should be a competitive mode just to filter out people that want to take things a little more seriously, and those people who really don't. Keeps things fresh and interesting. Keeps things fresh.
I've been playing a lot more Mercy lately.
Oh, Mercy, okay. You a healer?
Healer.
Her pistol's really strong, dude.
Yeah, and it's automatic, too. I didn't know that.
It's automatic? Huh. I'll try that out.
Yeah.
I don't remember ever actually shooting Mercy's pit. I'll be honest, I don't like Mercy. I'm not a Mercy player. So my experience at Mercy is limited at best.
I find it more fun because I don't have to go into the thick of it and die instantly.
And then you get back.
I can hang back and heal people and
Revive people.
Get play and if the you're game. Like constantly, yeah, if you're like constantly healing people and doing damage boost, you build your ult up super quick.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't like Mercy because it's not my kind of thing. I like to be up in the action. I like to be shooting the people and not healing the people. I never was a big healer, so it's I don't know.
So you haven't found like a support character you like at all in Overwatch?
I like Zenyatta, but that's because I like to kill people with Zenyatta.
Yeah, you can do that charge shot. And that's pretty good.
Yeah,
you happen to hit
him. You walk a dude turns stairs and you're just right there and you're like, hey, have these balls. Blap. There you go. Take these balls.
Balls in your face.
Yep. I don't know. Yeah, I haven't found a support I really like. But Mercy, people seem to like Mercy a lot, but I don't like, I just can't get with it.
Flying around.
That's why I can't use Mercy. I suck at using her fly. I don't know what's wrong with me. Like, I'm terrible at targeting other players.
Well, you should play that there Brawl of the Week, because boy, you're going to be flying in that one. Flying everywhere.
I gotta say, I'm kind of disappointed with most of the, like, arcade weekly mode thingies. Like, I don't want to play most of them. They're just dumb.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah.
like the all defense mode where it was May and Widowmaker and I forget who else. Like, no, I tried that a couple times and I'm like, this is not fun. I don't care. It's not fun.
I think that's the thing where, you know, the reviews will often talk about, if I was going to review Overwatch, I think having spent the amount of time looking at all their kind of play, the match of the week kind of things is important, because it's definitely been kind of disappointing for me, because I was hoping it was going to be really super interesting, and it's maybe been like, the random one was kind of cool, but all the other ones, I could leave because they're just not very interesting.
Yeah, they don't seem like they have that much thought put behind them and the mechanics in them. They're more just like, oh, use these certain characters we picked. Like, we didn't really mess with the game that much. It's just, you can only use these characters. And that's kind of boring. Like, even with the random characters, you would think they would, like, make the rate, like, a tiny bit higher, just because people maybe aren't used to playing, like, they're going to be playing characters they're not used to maybe give them more of a chance. I don't know. I just wish that there was a little bit more. It seems like they need more people working on this game for like how big of a deal it is.
Yeah, I feel like that's the thing. If I was writing a review, and the point I was making before was, if I was going to write a review, I'd say, I don't know, that's the one thing that is taken away from the game, is they're just, it feels like that it's kind of a separate mode and it's kind of wasted. Like, I feel like it could add in more game modes or something, and it makes me question, looking forward, how they're going to support the game when all the modes they keep introducing into the game, as far as random games of the week, have not been very interesting. So I wonder what the game will look like going forward support-wise for new stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, and I know they've, like, talked about, like, the new maps they're working on and the new character, and they've said, like, oh, they're not out yet because they're not perfected yet, but there's no actual date on when they're going to be coming out anytime, and it just, I don't know.
Even if they break a date, you know, like, just set that date.
Yeah, like, I'd rather be like, oh, well, it got delayed, but I guess they don't really want, like, a Street Fighter V situation either.
Yeah, true. I don't know. It's just felt like looking at the games of the week made me go, I wonder what this game is going to look like support-wise going forward, because, boy, the stuff they do every week doesn't seem very
good. It's not holding much appeal for me, and I know I'm not competitive, so the addition of competitive rank stuff isn't super great for me.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything for you, yeah.
But whatever, I got other games to play. True, on you, yeah. Overwatch. No, I know people are happy.
Yeah, people, I mean, I very much enjoy it, but it's just something that I look at and go, you know, it's worrying. I wonder what they're going to do. I wonder what they're looking at going forward. So, well, it's something to look at, something to consider. If you're thinking of picking up Overwatch right now, I would say, yeah, go ahead if you want a game that you can just play kind of off and on, because I don't know how long to stay with it long term. It's going to be 2 years, 3 years. Esports, that's all I have to say. Esports. News? News?
Yeah, what little news we've got.
Yeah, there's not much.
News, do news. Hello, welcome to the news. My name is Down Today. Blizzard is hiring for a new Diablo series director after previous director since 2013, Joss... Oh no, Mosqueria.
I think it's Mosquera. Like,
Mosquera? Okay.
I think it's Hispanic. I don't know, I'm sorry.
I don't mean to butcher your name, sir. After he left, lead designer of Diablo 3, Leonardo Boyarsky, left to join Obsidian in April. What is up plans for Diablo 3 now? I don't know. What is up with it?
I don't think they know either, because they're, like, trying to hire a new, like, director, and they're like, help us, we need somebody for Diablo. So I wonder what that means for Diablo. I guess just, like, seasons. Just stick with seasons for a while. Like, no new expansion anytime soon or anything like that.
I think Blizzard is in an interesting position in that now... You look at their older games, you look at World of Warcraft, you look at StarCraft, you look at Diablo, and it feels like they don't quite know what to do with those game series. I mean, StarCraft has certainly ended at this point, and the last expansion came out for that. But you look at World of Warcraft, you look at Diablo, they kind of feel like they're more focused on Overwatch, Hearthstone, and Heroes of the Storm over doing something for those older games in some ways. Now, I know Blizzard is legendary for support, but it feels like there's not a lot of fresh ideas for those games going on right now. So maybe with this hiring, they'll get somebody in to do something fresh for Diablo. At least I hope so.
I hope so too, but I kind of, I don't know. I don't know if I would really want like another expansion or anything. Like, I hope hiring somebody new means like they have like a whole new Diablo project that comes along with it. I don't know.
I mean, it's been a while since Diablo 3. You could definitely see them doing something new with it.
Yeah, but there was such a big gap from like 2 to 3. I don't know. It would be weird for them to like do a sequel right away, but I kind of want one.
I mean, if they're looking at World of Warcraft, their primary moneymaker for a long time, and it's going downhill, and they feel like they have to get out there again with another game and just kind of keep producing because they obviously have the staff for it, you know, I could see them doing another one pretty soon.
Yeah, I would be satisfied with them just finally adding the Necromancer, though. Like, what the hell? There's a Necromancer NPC, dude, and he's so cool. Why can't I play as one?
Yeah, man. Give up some love for the summoners of the dead, yo.
I want to raise some bones.
Very
sex.
Funny.
Yeah. Funny jokes. Yeah.
In our next news story.
Too much anime game.
Too much anime game. That's all right. In our next news story, Twitch has added a social eating category.
Raising bones? No, not really. But why the fuck did they add this? It's so gross.
I guess people like to watch. I mean, that was the thing I remember hearing on some news channel not too long ago was there's been a trend going through Asia where people like to watch other people just sit down and eat a meal. I think Jeff has talked about it once or twice, and it's just weird to me. I mean, I get it. There's people who are lonely. They want to, you know, have someone to eat with or something like that. That's fine, but that seems...
I just gotta say, like, I recommend everybody read the social eating FAQ that Twitch has supplied because it's so weird. It's so weird.
I'll just take the first. What is social eating? It's a question. Social eating is a new beta category that lets you share a meal with your community. Whether you are taking a break from gaming to refuel or enjoying a meal you cooked on Twitch Creative, it is like eating with friends via Twitch. So, having your meal while watching someone else have theirs celebrates something people have done for eons, dining together.
Let's eat together on the internet.
The spirit of social eating is therefore less focused on the act of eating and more on the sense of companionship and inclusivity.
It's all about friendship, just like anime and Care Bear movies and social eating. Yep. But they do, like, straight up say on the FAQ that it's because of a mukbang, like the South Korean live stream yourself eating stuff. But it's weird because there are so many things that they don't allow during the social eating thing. Like... It's sad. Like, I want to do some of these things that they say you can't do.
Like what?
Like feed others, such as pets or babies. I mean, I love seeing those guinea pigs get fed. That is adorable. And it's social and there's eating. What's wrong? Why is that against the terms of service? What the hell?
They just want to make sure nobody's doing weird stuff.
They just want no breastfeeding. I mean, come on. That's the real reason. Twitch. Yeah. They know. But there's no, like, food challenges or contests allowed. No, like, nug-tugging. Nothing like that.
No nug-tugging? What the heck is a nug-tug?
Yeah. Oh, come on. Come on. You're supposed to like Giant Bomb. You don't know about nug-tugging?
I probably know what it is. I've just never heard it referred to as that.
It's the 100 nugget challenge. Why that is Alexis that attempted.
What's the tug part?
you don't want to know.
You put it in your mouth and then you tug away half of that nugget from your face, unless you're just like eating the whole thing in one go, like some kind of monster.
Oh, what? You don't eat chicken nugget? Wait, like what?
No.
What? People, what?
You literally put like a full whole one in your mouth and then chew that?
Yes.
Who
doesn't do that? I mean, how big are
people with normal sized mouths?
Are we talking about like Wendy's chicken nuggets? Or are we talking about like McDonald's? Yeah, little tiny things.
Okay. I could maybe fit like the ball shaped one, but not the bell. Oh, ball! Ha 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 ha. But yeah, like not the boot or the bell or any of the other craziness. You're crazy. You're out of your mind.
I always thought they were really small. Like, okay, all right. No, I mean. Okay. Maybe I haven't eaten chicken nuggets
in a while. Maybe I have a small mouth. I don't know.
I don't know. I just feel like I haven't had chicken nuggets in so long. Now I'm questioning how big a chicken nugget is. I need to take a look at this. I need to question.
But, like, this Twitch thingy about what you can and cannot eat is so, like, nanny state bullshitty. Like, if you're going to have a stupid eating channel, why are you so regulating it so much? Like, it's so dumb.
Yep.
Like, let's see, you are not allowed to primarily eat junk food, such as candy, condiments, or energy food. Like, you can't have a stream of just you eating candy? Why?
Because they're worried about your teeth. Your teeth need more than candy.
Like, I can see why you don't allow drinking games and, like, doing shots or whatever, but, like, candy?
Eating items of food not meant for human consumption, such as pet food, toxic substances, bodily fluids. No, that makes sense. Refuse or inanimate objects. Yeah, of course not, because they're not monsters.
Well, this is up to interpretation on what people consider inedible and edible, I gotta say.
Yeah, I guess. It could be more specific with that, I guess. Some people think certain cheeses are inedible. Let me tell you what. You can eat any kind of cheese you want. Let me tell you.
Maggot cheese? Does that mean you're going to have... Where's your social stream? Fucking maggot cheese. I can't remember the French name. Ugh.
All right. Let's move along from that, because that's kind of grossing me out now. We're going to move on to the next news story. G2A announces developer support system. G2A tries to introduce incentives such as a donate button, 10% royalty for priority placement on storefronts for having a developer partnered up with G2A to help police their marketplace. Tiny Build, guess what? The Punch Club guys... Says CEO Alex.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
Says unless they actually solve the main issue, fraud on their platform, this initiative invites developers to become accomplices. G2A claims that fraud is a very small part of their economy, so it shouldn't be difficult to implement ethical business practices or extend merchant verification. This comes on the heels of people talking about G2A having kind of stolen codes that were not intended for
gray market. Yeah, codes, gray market, basically. Kind
of, you know, not great upstanding, to say that much. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think this is a response to that for 2A. I don't think it fixes anything. I think they still have kind of problems with that, because I've been on 2A. Let's just say some of their discounts are pretty steep. And as we're talking about with the Steam thing, I think what we want really is good discounts on Steam that, you know, that money goes towards developers and stuff. Where this stuff, I don't know where some of this money goes, because, like, it's pretty cheap, man. There's cheapness out there.
Mainly to Russia is where it goes. I'm not trying to... Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to keep my mouth shut regarding gray market.
Hey, everybody's probably done it once or something like that, where you bought something that might not have been totally up to standard, but I still feel like often, you know, what we want is that money to go to developers, and with this, I don't feel like that fixes it. I think their idea was, hey, let's get developers on this some way, and then people will think all this money's going towards them, when in reality, it feels kind of weird and chintzy, and like, oh, now people won't think that we're not, that money's not going to developers, we can just keep doing what we've always been doing, when it doesn't fix any of the problems. It just kind of, it puts a new cone of paint on things, and doesn't actually fix the underlying problem, which is, hey,
for sure,
you're getting these codes from... Either from the mob, which probably sometimes this money, these games come from organized crime of some kind, or you're getting these games from areas where people don't have the same kind of money, and exploiting that kind of feels weird at times.
Well, it's more like you don't know how these keys were acquired exactly. Like, somebody could have pretended to be, like, a fancy YouTube person and sent, an email with a shitty Gmail address and gotten, so like, 100 of codes and then sold them on here. Like, it sucks. Like, I understand G2A, like, it doesn't really seem like they're being genuine in trying to stop this kind of thing. It's more like they're just throwing a bone at developers that are victim to this and saying, like, well, we'll make it a little bit better for you. Like, if you, like, it's not that bad. Look, here's something. Here's a cut. It's not that bad. And I can see why developers would be like, no, this isn't right. Like, no, this isn't what I want. I want you to stop doing this, not for you to give me some of it. Give me some of your profits.
I mean, in that article by the CEO, by, I'm not going to try to say his name again, but Alex. They were talking
about... Tiny Build CEO.
They were talking about GTA having sold $450,000 worth of their keys, which is, like, insane. It's insane. I mean, I always thought, you know, you look at something like GTA, and maybe they'll get a few, but they're selling, like, huge bulks of keys, like, massive amounts for way lower than they should, and it's definitely a problem that, you know, I'm all for deep discounts, I'm all for things that allow consumers to get games for cheap, even for areas where, you know, people don't have that much money. I'm totally fine with that, but when you're selling off so many keys for way under the value, and that money is never making it back to developers, it becomes this bad situation where the developers aren't getting money, and then
the games, you know, won't exist anymore.
And then it spirals so far out of control.
You can't, like, I mean, I understand having games at, like, a market price be available, like, that totally makes sense, but you can't just, like, totally cut out, like, the originators of the product. It's kind of weird.
So G2A, I think you need to take another look at what you're doing and maybe try to do something more, because I feel like if it's not now with this developer, at some point somebody's gonna say enough, and you're gonna probably get in a lot of trouble then.
Yeah, there might be lawsuits, which who knows how exactly that would get settled, because G2A is based in Russia, and I don't know, it's all crazy, but yeah, this I can't see this, like, lasting as it is for much longer.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think G2A very much wants something like Steam, but at the same time, it's still kind of this place that's a little gray markety. And I feel like they're not willing right now to make that step, push that away, because that's such a big part of their business.
I never had the impression that G2A was striving towards some sort of, like, mainstream legitimacy, though. I always got the sense that they were like, oh, this is for people in the know, and yeah, it's kind of iffy or whatever, but this is where you get the deals and blah, blah, blah. Like,
e-sports.
More like, yeah, exactly, like that kind of thing.
Well, I think that's what my point was with esports, was they were very much trying to be kind of a front-facing company in some way, like, hey, we're a big deal as far as video games go, we sponsor all these esports teams, events, and stuff like that. They very much want to be that kind of reputable thing on the outside, and the only way they're going to do that is if they either tone down the amount of kind of gray markety stuff they do, or, I don't know, maybe they just don't.
Yeah, once gray markets, like, reach that kind of level, they usually either go straight, or, like, the most of the examples that I can think of, they're anime-based, did go straight, like Crunchyroll and, like, Faku or whatever. Like, they started off having pirated shit, basically, and now they do, like, legit releases, so it is possible. But I don't know. I don't think this move is necessarily going to make them more legit in developers' minds.
Yeah, I agree. All right.
Okay, welcome to my fucking segment. Well, there was some hot news earlier on. I don't know if you guys noticed it, but I didn't update everyone with the last, like, fucking Splatfest that occurred.
Yes, yeah.
Tell us about the Splatfest.
Yeah. It's ending, obviously, but, like, there were a couple since we last did them, and I'm wondering if I'm a robot, but yeah. There were a couple since we last did it, so I figured we should go through the ones that we missed them, and then just do the final one. So, everyone's here, so we can probably just go for it, and...
Yes, I love this segment,
I think
yeah.
The last one we did was Pokemon, like Pokemon Red Blue, so let's go with the American Splatfest first, and the 12th American Splatfest was Snowman vs. Sandcastle.
What? How does...
Which one did you get?
I gotta say Sandcastle, because, like, I'm more used to it. Like, I lived on the beach for a long time, and snow is cool, but I wouldn't know what to do to make a snowman. Like, I would just have to look to, like, my knowledge of Frosty lyrics, because I don't know what the fuck.
I'm saying Sandcastle as well. They're just more fun to do. Also, you don't get cold. You just get sand.
That's very true.
You get a sunburn, maybe, and sand places you don't want.
Yeah, that's true. They're both kind of unpleasant. That's kind of weird.
I like Snowman. Like, I think snowmen are cool to make. They're really easy to make as well. Like, you're just starting off with a little bit of snow and you're just, like, pushing it, essentially. All you're doing, you're just pushing it forwards into more snow.
I'm gonna have to go snowman.
Yeah.
Man, it's an even split. It's an even split.
2-2. The 13th American Splatfest, SpongeBob versus Patrick.
Patrick, every day, every way.
Yep, I'm with you.
Patrick, yeah. Star, the baller, the man in chief.
I'm picking Patrick because of Gary the snail, and yeah, I want a pet snail named Gary. He's gonna be my Gary in that world.
Isn't Gary SpongeBob's pet?
Is it? Fuck, yeah. I have it wrong. See, it is. I don't even watch that show, so okay, then I guess SpongeBob. God.
Okay, there you go.
Jake? I'm still with Patrick.
Jake, what do you want, Jake?
Go with Patrick.
Of course you go with Patrick. Yeah. He's a real OG.
Patrick wins.
Patrick's the best.
He's a real OG, man. He's a real baller. Straight out the hood.
He's an idiot. Why do you guys like him? He's so dumb.
Idiot. The best. Great. Idiot. Great. He's a real something. He's a real good guy. Mm-hmm.
The 14th American Splatfest, Fancy Party versus Costume Party.
What's a fancy party?
I think this was like Miitomo inspired or something. Fancy party costume.
Dresses and stuff like that, or getting dressed up in a costume party. Every day, costume party. Listen, I enjoy getting the suit as much as the next guy, but nobody does fancy parties anymore. You know, I can dress up, getting dressed up a little, you know, put a suit on, look all fancy. Okay, I'm weird. Okay, all right, I'm weird. Okay.
I'll do fancy party. I don't like costumes. Yeah. Like, it's so much effort for looking like a douchebag. Just...
Yeah.
Be nice looking.
That's what fancy party is. So much effort for looking like a douchebag. I'd rather look like a fucking hot dog or a cartoon character, so I pick costume party. Like, I want to cosplay it up. Hell yeah.
True. It's like 10 minutes for me to put on a suit.
Yeah.
My God, how long? What are you doing with a suit? It takes you 10 minutes to put on a suit.
That cummerbund, man.
Okay, alright.
You got a tie.
Do Americans have cummerbunds?
What? I don't even know that. I thought you were saying something weird. What's it?
A cummerbund is like a midriff sort of like a tiny cover.
Oh right, like one of those like matador looking things you put around your waist. Okay, yeah.
It's a big wide fancy belt. That's all that it
fancy
is.
Fancy belt. The 15th American first early birds versus night owls. I'm a night owl.
Early bird.
I'd probably say, I always have a hard time between the two. I don't know.
I want to be a night owl, but I end up being early bird. But I was night owl for so long. I'm picking night owl. I don't like waking up early in the morning. It sucks.
I hate the mornings.
I want to say early bird. There's something to waking up real early. There's something to that. Like, you just wake up real
you
early.
You love getting that worm, don't you? Dirty boy. You gotta get that worm.
I like getting out there and getting that worm. Wiggly, wiggly, worms.
Wiggle Wednesday, worm Wednesday, wiggling Wednesday, worm.
Let's leave it at that. Let's move on to Europe. And the 12th European Splatfest is Hoverboard versus Hoverbird. Jetpack.
Hoverboard? Listen, I'm going to talk to you about jetpacks. Jetpacks are scary. So much can go wrong with a jetpack. Hoverboard's just cool, man.
Yeah, I'd rather have, like, my feet explode from some kind of hoverboard accident than have, like, something attached to my back and my, like, the core of my body explode. I agree. So, yeah, hoverboard.
Skate 5. Hashtag skate 5.
Jake. Yeah, what do you say, Jake? I mean, I can guess, but...
It's a difficult question.
It is, yeah. Europe, hard questions.
Skate 5. Hashtag skate 5.
I'm going to have to go with jetpack.
Oh, man.
Really?
You're braver than me, man. Going up in the air seems like a real nightmare, man. I don't know. You get that jetpack.
Be scary.
It's fucking terrifying. Like, I don't like flying or anything like that. No, I like to stay on the ground or at least close enough that I don't want to, like, fall and go splat fest.
Yeah, well, I mean, just because you have a jetpack doesn't mean you have to go, like, super high in the air. You can be, like, above, like, the power lines.
Yeah, I know. That's still scary enough.
You what just don't like the whole jet factor of the pack.
Yeah.
What if you're like the laziest G and you're just like hovering like 1 foot off the ground, but you're still with a jet pack. You're just a foot off the ground.
You're just
everywhere.
Kicking that dirt everywhere.
Yeah.
So you don't have to walk. You're just like at normal person height level, but everybody hates you because you have a giant dust cloud around you at all times.
You're just like, fuck the haters.
That would be pretty good.
They have the same SpongeBob one and the same party costume party one.
No. So, there's a difference. There's a black tie event. or a fancy dress party.
This is Europe. This is Europe. Shh.
Oh.
Okay.
They just put it in Europe words. It's the same thing.
And then the 15th European Splatfest is World Tour versus Space Adventure.
World Tour.
Space Adventure.
World Tour, because, man, looking out at the universe, there don't seem to be a whole lot popping, man. I'd rather go on a cool world tour.
Well, it has adventure, like, built into the name of Space Adventure, so I assume that they're actually promising some real adventure along with that space.
Exactly. And it's like fucking space.
But I would want to go on a regular world tour because I actually want to see, like, the little promo art shows Egypt and, like, Mount Fuji, and I want to go to both of those places super bad.
Jake, you're the decider.
World tour.
Ah.
Space is not the place.
What are you guys
Space going? Is dangerous.
But exactly, it's you're gonna die.
It's so good.
Yeah. There's nothing out there, man.
If it were like 100 years from now, I would pick space.
Yeah.
But like the technology's not there.
You're fucking jetpack, but you are in space. Whatever.
Scary, man. Go ahead.
That's basically Europe. We'll move on to Japan. And Japan is great because they always have like crazy different ones. So the 12th Japanese Splatfest is versus Focus on Healing, and I think this is like Dragon Quest related.
Yeah, it's a Dragon Quest promo.
What was the first one?
Go All Out versus Focus on Healing.
It's like offensive versus defensive, basically.
Oh, okay.
Focus on Healing. Focus on Healing.
Yeah, I'm a bad, like, aggressive person. Like, I would fail getting the right headshots and stuff. Like, I'm relating this to Overwatch, so I'd focus on healing. Like, I'd do best with the team with that.
I pick healing because the heal slime is super cute, and that's the only reason why. Sorry.
Go All Out.
All right.
The 13th Japanese Splatfest, tuna mayonnaise versus red salmon onigiri.
Oh my god. That sounds onigiri. So disgusting.
What? One of them is a regular fucking tuna sandwich, except instead of bread, it's rice.
I hate tuna
like, it's
sandwich.
Not that. Oh, okay. Never mind then.
How can you hate that?
It smells disgusting. I used to eat it when I was a kid, and I don't know what happened, but now it just, every time I smell tuna, it makes me just not good stuff. I don't know what the hell it is. Maybe my taste changed as I got older, but it's really hard for me to deal with the smell of tuna.
Oh man, you gotta be more specific with this thing too. It's salmon roe, like the salmon eggs.
Oh, no.
It's not even plain salmon. Like,
this is gonna be hard.
I'm gonna go with the tuna thing.
Yeah, I was gonna go salmon, but now that you mentioned it was eggs, no thanks. I'm out.
I like a good tuna fish sandwich.
I'm gonna go with eggs.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with the eggs.
Really?
I can't deal with tuna, man.
I mean,
I'll throw up, man. I have to go with the eggs.
I've had a lot of salmon roe furikake, which is like this flavored furikake.
Excuse yourself. Excuse
me. What? It's like a normal, like, little spice mix thingy that you add on top of rice. And it has, like, freeze-dried, dehydrated, like, little bits of salmon roe. And it's actually pretty good. Like, it might be okay. I mean, I've never tried, like, Japanese tuna mayo sandwiches. So I don't know if those are edible. But I have tried salmon roe, like, flavored stuff. So I guess I'll pick that for now. Because I think I would at least be used to it. I would know, like, what to expect. So I'll take that. And for, like, random Japanese food, take what I know and over what might be, like... I mean, I haven't tried Japanese pizza, but their idea of pizza is fucked up, so I don't even want to know what they would do to tuna mayo.
Okay, move on before our week goes, and vomit.
The 15th Japanese Splatfest. Mountain versus Bamboo Shoot Village. I think this is another advertised thing. Japan seems to, like, have so many advertised Splatfests.
Yeah, like, They tried to do that with the US, but the only one that they, like, got was a SpongeBob thing. Like, I wonder if they tried to sell more Splatfests and people didn't bite.
So, this is the little cookies that look like mushrooms?
I think they're cookies, yeah. That's my guess.
Yeah, they are. I've had both of these. They both taste exactly the same, so...
I'm gonna go with the little mushrooms ones, because I've had those before. Usually I hate mushrooms, but they look cool.
I'm gonna go Bamboo Shoot Village, because it looks like there's more chocolate.
Oh, you're one of those people.
There really isn't. Like, the way the little mushroom caps work is that the little stick part is cookie and all of the top cap is chocolate. So the mushroom ones are more chocolatey.
Oh, I see.
So that's why I'm going to pick mushrooms, because they're more fun to eat. Like, you can eat off the little chocolate cap, and then you have, like, a little goofy-looking cookie stick, and it's cute.
How about you, Jake? What do you think?
I'm going to go bamboo shoot.
Okay. Yeah.
Because they look like bugles.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. They look the best.
That's my hate for mushrooms. I just can't side with mushrooms no matter what.
They're fake mushrooms, though. They're not even real mushrooms. They're chocolate and cookies.
Remove mushrooms from existence. From all existence.
Okay. Not even visual representations of them.
Ever. Or even chocolate form. And then the 16th and final Splatfest for every single one. For Splatoon 1, I guess. Until Splatoon is ever made. Splatoon 2, sorry. We have the 16th and final Splatfest. Callie versus Mary. Marie. Is it Callie then?
No, it's Callie.
It's still Callie. Okay, great. The two hosts of Splatoon, the like
the J-pop idol group.
Girls.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, nor do I.
Who?
Gotta go, Callie. I like the color purple. Here we go. All I gotta say.
Callie.
They are Callie's not the same. One. Oh my god. Have any of you guys even played this game?
Exactly. Right.
No. No.
Callie's the best. Like, her persona is so good.
No, Callie's so good. Callie
is the best. Callie's so good. She's got such a great persona.
Okay, what's the personality of these two? What's the, tell me, like, give me a, like,
they're basically both sassy. Okay. That's their personality. Yeah. They both sass each other back and forth. Like, I mean, Marie, I would say, is a little more eccentric than Callie. Like, Callie is more normal, I guess, to put it that way. Which is why I like Marie better.
I like Callie better, because she kind of looks like that J-pop sort of goth, like, visual Kai, but, like, you see where I'm going with it. Like, she looks more in that regard, whereas Marie just looks like your general, let's copy Western pop ladies, and let's just take that style and take it. That's why I like Callie more.
Alright, well, that's Splatfest, I guess.
Callie's a jerk. That's what I gotta say. Callie's Marie mean. Sucks. She's always mean to Marie. No, Marie is fine. Sucks. Marie is nice. She's nice. She's normal. She doesn't try and, like, push Callie's buttons like she fucking does to Marie. God damn it.
Where are we? Who are we? What?
Callie's the better performer of the two. Like, if they went solo, Callie will do better.
You're out of your mind.
Do you just like Marie because she almost sounds like Mary? Is that the thing you like?
No, I like her responses best, like, in all of the text stuff in Splatoon. Like, they actually have Marie and Callie talk a lot in the game, so you can kind of work out personalities if you actually play it and are a dork and care about that shit. So, yeah, I like Marie better. So there.
Okay. I guess it's all the Splatfest.
Forever.
Forever.
Forevermore.
Good night.
So, when is Splatoon 2? Like, with the launch of the NX? Because that's what it seems like to me.
Probably. It'll be Splatoon X. Because yeah. Splatoon with the N and then the X.
Every game just has an X on the end now? Okay, alright.
That would be cool. Yeah, I would go for that.
That'd get annoying after a year. That'd get really annoying after a year.
Yeah, that sounds fucking lame.
Oh my god, speaking of fucking lame, you know what Callie and Marie, like, you put the names together forms?
Oh.
What?
Yeah. Calamari. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I didn't notice that. Wow, no. So dumb.
Nintendo's good about that shit.
Nintendo. Yeah, they are.
Swift, like a eel. Like an octopus?
A squid?
Like a kid now?
I'm a squid. I'm a kid now. Squid,
I'm an amiibo now.
I think we're gonna wrap up here. I would just like to mention that SGDQ, the speedrunning marathon, is going for the next few days. I believe it'll still be going by the time this podcast comes out. They'll be doing it for Doctors Without Borders. I very much recommend everybody go out there and support them in some way. It's gonna be a lot of good speedruns. So if you feel up to, you know, going out there and watch some speedruns or something like that, or you have some money to donate, I certainly think Doctors Without Borders is a good cause. So we'd just like to put our support behind that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, charity. Video games charity. For charity. I always like it, and that is a super good cause. So yeah.
All right. I think that'll be it for us. I hope everybody has a great 4th of July. I know it'll be over by the time you hear this podcast, but I hope everyone had a good 4th of July, even though it's still in the future for us now, but it's past for us then. Yes. So I hope you have a good 4th of July. I hope you have a good summer. I hope you're enjoying everything.
Bring it home.
I want to say good luck to everybody out there in the fireworks. Don't blow your fingers off. Good luck.
Well, it's too late now. They're already amputated or whatever.
Oh, God. Oh, no. If you blew off your fingers, what are you doing? What are you doing out there?
I bet they feel bad enough if they already blew off their fingers. You don't need to rub it in, thank God.
All right. Well, this has been Rams Over Baghdad.
Would be able to rub it in because they're missing fingers.
No. it's been Rob's Rebecca, and I've been your host out and try just, you know, break a leg. Don't break a leg. Have a good night.
Rub it in.